Okay, here are my top 10 tips on how to write more effectively and powerfully in your LinkedIn content. And these tips come from copy coaching. Yes, I did the math, almost 1,000 posts at this point inside my sprints. And you know what has come up for me now that I have like sat down and put these 10 things down on a bullet point list? The ways that we're conditioned to show up, whether that is from our upbringing, our culture of origin, the things that we have learned in school, like these ways that we think we need to show up are not the best approach in this work of driving change and building businesses. Actually, the ways that we, so many of us, maybe not all of us, but the way that so many of us have learned to write and communicate and put together our content are actually drivers of status quo thinking. They keep us showing up in a way that is just polite and not rocking the boat and humble to a fault and focusing on sounding smart or being informative versus actually creating emotion and building resonance. And if I had to just sum it up, I would say the ways that most of us have learned to communicate keep us small. And so that's why my favorite comment of all time is always when my clients tell me that they can hear my copy coaching in their mind as they write going forward, even after we're done working together. And that's what I hope you will experience after you listen to this episode, because how you do one thing is how you do everything. And so if you can be more you, if you can be more clear, if you can be more resonant, more strategic in all of your content writing on LinkedIn, that's going to bleed into everything else, right? Your relationships one-on-one, your small business, just all of it. And so again, here are 10 ways to do that. Reach out and let me know which one you're going to try first. And if you want a supportive place to practice and operationalize these writing tips, consider joining the February LinkedIn Content Sprint, where you will learn to batch a sequence of 24 strategic LinkedIn posts along with a community of peers and get my one-on-one copy coaching on everything that you write. So I'll drop the link to grab one of the 20 spots inside the show notes. But until then, enjoy the episode. Hey, I'm Tanya Bhattacharya, and you are listening to the Campfire Circle podcast. We are all about breaking down the boardroom table as the ultimate space of leadership and instead replacing it with a campfire, because that's where we share our stories. That's where we build warm community, and that is where there's always room. I'm building an impactful business in public through thought leadership, and I'm taking you behind the scenes all along the way. So if you want to stand out as you stand up for your mission, you are in the right place. I should probably explain what copy coaching is. It's not just editing or proofreading, although that is part of it, but copy coaching overall is deeper than that. It is asking you questions to dig more fully and clearly into the heart of what you're actually trying to say, and then supporting you in shaping it into a little package of words that will drive your ideal audience member forward towards trust. And so no matter who I'm working with or what they are about, most of my copy coaching suggestions fall under these kind of four main categories. So be more you, be clear, concise, and digestible, keep your ideal reader in mind, and be strategic. So let's start with be more you. And so what I mean by that is, again, like so many people think they have to sound as smart or fill in the blank, right? As credentialed, as whatever. So that might look like using advanced jargon. It might look like using acronyms or just things that someone just learning about the transformation you provide won't necessarily understand. So trying to show up as smart as possible can actually become a real barrier to connection. And so actually, I just did this LinkedIn training yesterday and someone said in the chat, I feel like other people in my field are so much more knowledgeable than me, so I don't ever post anything. So I really, if this is feeling like if that's relatable, I really want you to take away that knowledge is not the end all be all. It's really more about relatability. That's why when you go and take a tour of a college campus, it's not the dean who is showing you around, right? It's not the professors who are showing you around. It's probably a kid who's a year older than you. It's like a freshman who's showing you around because they are the most relatable person to guide you. And so just be you, right? Just be you. So here are three tips under this kind of category to help you be more you so that you can relate to your people, so you can build trust, and so you don't have to show up like an unapproachable know-it-all. So tip number one, write like you talk. So instead of something like have a chance to, just say can. Unless you actually use words like plethora or myriad or, I don't know, like a cornucopia, like just say many. You don't want to sound like a thesaurus, right? You want to sound like a human being. Let's just have a moment of WTF, because at least for me, when I was in school, like in high school, I was trying to sound like a thesaurus, right? That's how many of us learned how to write. And yet in this work of showing up on LinkedIn and building trust and building a brand, and that's just not it. So I remember back in the day, I used to go to these conferences when I worked in mental health, and there would be these industry conferences where doctors or high-level professionals would spend an entire day with each other in a really small group getting high-level continuing education. That's not the vibe, right? So LinkedIn is more like the exhibit hall just outside of that room, right? At the conference where a lot of different people with a lot of different expertise levels, but a common passion for the topic come together to try to learn a little bit, to try to connect with a new friend, to build some relationship. And so I want you to ask yourself before you write anything for LinkedIn, how would you talk to your ideal reader in a one-on-one conversation, like a one-on-one spoken conversation face-to-face? Maybe record yourself talking out loud, sharing your perspective, and then transcribe it and clean it up into a LinkedIn post, right? The goal is to write like you talk. Tip number two is to use active voice versus passive voice wherever possible. An active voice sounds bold and action-oriented and clear because the sentence is about what the subject is doing, right? Maybe the subject is you. Maybe it's the person you're speaking to. Maybe it's like a past client case study. But the thing about passive voice is that the subject is no longer in the sentence. It removes the subject. So it just sounds like something that just happened. An example of passive voice would be mistakes were made, right? And we see a lot of passive voice in what I would call irresponsible journalism, because passive voice allows the writer to not assign an actor. We are seeing this now in the coverage on Gaza. We have been seeing this in coverage about police shootings for years. There's so much to be said here. And this is important because the ways that we frame narratives and shape stories create meaning. And if you're listening to this, there's likely some social impact lens to your work. So I really want to encourage you to not shy away from using active voice, even though passive voice might feel more comfortable, even though it might be our comfort spot. Naming the true root causes of your work in the world, whether it's in, you know, mental health or conservation or workplace issues, like whatever your work is, be truthful. That in and of itself makes a difference, right? And you might be surprised at the number of people who begin to lean in more closely because you are telling the truth they know in their heart. And some people will lean away from you, but those aren't your people anyway. And again, I think we're just so used to writing in passive voice because it feels nice and soft, it feels safe. But when you actively make the switch, you will see how much more powerful your content sounds. And if you need a little help on this, one of my favorite things is Hemingway Editor. You can enter your LinkedIn post into there. It's free. And it will just highlight what is showing up in passive voice. So you can intentionally change that up. Try that. Tip number three is to eliminate what I would call filler words or gremlin words, like the 80s movie, right? Do you remember that when all the cute little gremlins, the little creatures, they were so cute, but they destroyed the whole town. So we often pepper our language with gremlin words or hedging words. And so like little, just, somewhat. These words don't add anything, right? They just make it less impactful. They just make it less powerful. But it feels nicer, right? It just feels like a little softer to say just or somewhat or whatever. And they just happen when I talk. Like there's so many gremlin words in my spoken word, my spoken language. Again, it's all conditioning and training and living inside systems that shape us this way for many years. But when we write for LinkedIn, we can proofread, right? We can edit those words out after we write it. So don't try to edit as you write. I think that's important. Just don't do that. Just get the thing out and then you can edit afterwards. And so taking these gremlin words out will make your content not just more clear, but more powerful. And so that actually takes us to our next sort of category of tips, which is to be clear, concise, and digestible. So I'm going to go a little faster because we're only at tip 4 out of 12. Go figure. So tip number 4 is to make meaty paragraphs into scannable points that are easier for someone to skim and absorb. So that means plenty of paragraph breaks or white space. Not after every line, which is people call this broetry. I think that's so funny. Maybe more than you think. It's just tough to read a brick wall of text, like a rectangle of text. It can be the most interesting story in the world. It could be the follow-up to Iron Flame. Like, I don't care. If it's a solid rectangle of text, I'm just not going to read it, at least on LinkedIn, right? People are skimming. People are scanning. So make sure to just include that white space in there. So tip number 5 is that this is something I learned in like a copy coaching class a long time ago, and it really stuck with me. Each sentence's job is to get the reader to want to read the next sentence. So often we belabor a point. We say the same thing in three sentences in three slightly different ways. It's just unnecessary. Like, just share what needs to be said after you're done writing, right? Not during, but after you're done writing, reread it and just use this as a gauge. Is every sentence necessary to the meaning of this post and what I'm trying to convey or inspire my ideal reader to do? Less is more sometimes. And so next, tip number 6, similarly, is not everything has to fit in one post. So I remember copy coaching a post in the last sprint in October, and I remember thinking lovingly, dang, this could become a chapter in your book. A LinkedIn post is not an essay. It's not a newsletter, right? It's not an email. It's not a memoir. This is actually a golden problem to have, though, because you can take a teaser of this long piece that you have written and use that teaser as the LinkedIn post and then drive people somewhere else, like maybe your email list, maybe a Substack, maybe your blog, to read the full thing. So having more is not a problem, but just you can build a skill to take a piece of it to drive people into where you want them to go. Because again, LinkedIn is a discoverability platform. As far as how long is too long, that's totally up to you. I have clients who post stories that are 400 words, 500 words, and they do great. I have clients who post one sentence and it does great. The key is to know your audience and provide value throughout. And so that takes me to the next batch of tips, which are all about keeping your ideal reader in mind. Okay, so tip number 7, and you probably heard this, if you're trying to speak to everyone, you speak to no one. I think it was Seth Godin who first said that. I don't know. But so how do you make sure that your content is speaking to your ideal reader? The answer is to get hella specific, like super freaking specific. And this is going to be really uncomfortable at first. But honestly, this is where the magic happens. So much of my copy coaching suggestions, and if you ask anyone who's been through my sprint, they'll tell you this, probably more than half of what I tell you, it's to get more specific and to drill deeper. And a checkpoint that you can use to gauge if your LinkedIn content is specific enough is to ask yourself, could this post be for anybody? So let's say you run a group coaching program for managers at high growth startups. And that's your person. That's your ideal reader. That's who you help. That's who you're about. So if you reread your post that you've just written, would those people, like would those managers know that your support is tailor-made and intended for them? Or could it be geared towards anybody, right? Could it be geared towards a lawyer, towards a college student, towards a chef? Like, your content should include signs or signals that are immediately recognizable to your person. That could be terminology or lingo that would be relatable to them. It could be common issues. It could be experiences and milestones that they face that you speak about in a language that they use, right? In their own words. So one thing that I would encourage you to think about is when you reread your content, there's going to be spaces where you can add like X, Y, and Z after you describe something, or you can tell by A, B, and C, right? And in those spaces, add specific examples that they can relate to. So if this isn't quite connecting for you, I want you to check out a link I'm going to drop in the show notes where it's a Loom video where I actually copy coach 5 real LinkedIn posts. So you can see what I mean in practice. And I remember in that video, I suggested to a service provider who works with busy nonprofit professionals, instead of saying something like nonprofit leaders are busy, right? Or paint a picture of what that looks like. Give a specific example that they will recognize, like having to stuff 1,000 Avery name tags the night before a gala, right? Your people will get that if they do. And don't be afraid that your specificity is going to exclude people or that you're turning people away by being specific. You will never alienate your ideal dreamy person by being more specific or clear or descriptive. You will only draw them in. Even if they can't relate to that exact example, like maybe they never had to stuff 1,000 Avery name tags the night before the gala. Like that's so nice for them. But they will maybe have peers that, like, they'll get that. They'll understand that. They will get that you understand their world. So tip number 8 is to use you more than you use I in your content. So you're speaking directly to the reader. Even if the story that you're sharing is about you, it is really about the reader and their experience of it and how it makes them think differently. That's the beautiful thing about story. It's a shortcut to connection and trust. So you're not sharing these stories to be like your journal, right? LinkedIn is not your journal. It's a place to connect with people and build connection through story. Tip 9 is, I hope this lands okay. My tip is when you share content, say something. So a lot of people are nervous about showing up on LinkedIn because they don't want to just add to the noise, right? So don't just add to the noise. Say something of value. And one way to ensure that you're doing this is before you start writing, be clear about what it is that you want your ideal reader to do after they read it. Maybe not do, but how you want them to change after they read it. What is the main point you want them to take away? What do you hope that they will gain? How do you want them to start thinking differently? Start there. And then after you write the piece, ask yourself if you accomplished that goal. And then finally, number 10 is be strategic. And I say this like take this with a grain of salt. You don't always have to be strategic. You can share something off the cuff, share a timely news article and your hot take, have fun, find play. Like it doesn't have to be strategic all the time, for sure. And if you have a small business, you likely sell a service or a program. And so you might have launches throughout the years or periods where you sell more actively. Or if you're a nonprofit, you've got periods where you fundraise or where you have advocacy pushes or stuff like that. And it's still January 2024, but most likely roughly when those periods are going to be, if not for the year, at least for the next 90 days, at least for the next quarter, maybe 2 quarters. So share a strategic sequence of content that nurtures your person into being ready to take action when those launch periods take place. And that's what I love so much about the LinkedIn content sprint, because batching your content in a strategic sequence helps your posts tell a cohesive story that brings people along a journey that builds trust and resonance. It takes time, right? Building relationship through content takes time. If you're not gonna, it's not an overnight thing. But it builds rapport that will grow your social impact business, because your content builds community at scale. And that's why I freaking love this so much. So anyway, that's my 10 tips. I want to know which one of them you're going to implement first. Reach out and let me know. And I'd love to support you one-on-one in practicing these tips and making them happen in real time inside the February LinkedIn content sprint. So registrations open till January 31st or until all of the 20 spots have sold out. You can check out the link in the show notes to join us or learn more. I'll talk to you next time. Okay, so you've heard from us. Now I want to hear from you. Leaving a review helps us so much in growing our reach and supporting more folks with this podcast. And even better, I would love for you to send me a note on LinkedIn with your takeaways from this episode. I cherish and respond to every message, so I can't wait to hear from you. And if you want to go even deeper, check out the show notes to take your next step.